just to say, as I said, I'm here with Gillian and our daughter, and I am originally from a country called Sierra Leone, which many people don't know, but it's a small country in the west of Africa, and it's a former British colony, so our official language is English, so I've sort of grown up from primary school learning English. And I still do have family there. My mom still lives there. And I have a surviving brother, younger brother, who's there. And I have a sister who lives in the States. Okay. And probably from the blog you've seen, I first came to the UK actually in 1989. But then I came back this time around in 1994 as an international student. So, and for various reasons, which I wouldn't go into, I've stayed since then. And I do have three other children, so I'm probably I'll say something about that later on. And currently, my wife and I worship at International Harvest Church, which is in Newcastle. And I do play an active part in the church, and I'm one of the leaders, and I'm also a trustee and a treasurer as well. I sort of manage the finances in the church. And in terms of my work, I work at Newcastle University. And I was just amazed that I've been there for 18 years. But I was there as a student before that as well, perhaps. And I've been there and I've done a lot of things in my work. And part of what I do now is really mentoring a lot of like students who are working in practice and trying to gain professional qualifications. But I also help other staff in terms of their own professional development. That's why I talk about telling stories. Now, in terms of my faith journey, I think the first time I sort of experienced Christ, now perhaps that will give you some gist of my age, was I think in 1974. I think I was about 10 at the time. And I think I've gone to a summer camp, and I remember there was somebody, a missionary, who I'm still in contact with, who lives in Scotland, who was part of Scripture Union, and you know, spoke. And I think that was the first time I consciously remembered sort of giving my life to Jesus. But it wasn't, probably didn't last. But I knew that I'd made a decision, but it didn't last. And I think 5 years afterwards, I sort of went to another summer camp, and I think I also made a conscious decision. But again, it didn't last too much, and I went to university. But I think towards the end of my time at university, 1984, that's when sort of things really clicked for me. And since then, I've been on a journey, you know, actively serving God. And I think I must say that, you know, my family, you know, were churchgoers, and I think in that sense we were encouraged to go to summer camps and we were taken to church. And my maternal grandfather was a vicar in the Anglican church, so he was involved. And I remember going to Sunday school and learning stories. And I think even, I remember my dad, you know, waking us up early in the morning to have morning devotions, which I never liked. But I think one of the things which I really valued then was that we were taught prayers, you know, and I think still remember one of those prayers, you know, a morning prayer and an evening prayer. And I think I will always say those prayers, even when I wasn't consciously walking with God. I would always say those prayers. Although sometimes, if as a student, if we've gone out drinking, I'll come back and I'll pray tonight because I probably haven't done so good well today. But I think remember that lightning our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercies, defend us from all perils of this life. So how many years? I still remember bits of it. And I think, looking back, and I just want to thank God that I had parents that introduced me to, you know, God in that way and led me to be in the church. And through that, you know, I came to make a decision myself to say Jesus is real in my life. And I think, you know, over the course of my life, I can look back and say God is good. But I've also had, you know, I can see the blessing of, you know, having a wonderful wife now and, you know, a daughter, Ariana, who really keeps, you know, who always brings joy to us, you know, challenges and stuff. But she's just a pleasure. And as I said, thank God for parents who gave a lot. And I think in growing up in Sierra Leone, they didn't have much. But I think I was grateful that they valued education then. And so they did all they could to put us to school. And I remember in the first year at university, you know, back then you got scholarships. I didn't have a scholarship, and they scraped and paid for me for my first year at university. And then I got a scholarship afterwards. And so they were all out to say, I think education is something for you. And that really was something I'm grateful for. And even now my mom, you know, she'll be 80 this year. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes, you know, there are challenges, you know, with how she, but I always remember that she gave her all to give me opportunities in life. And I'm really very grateful for that. Yeah. And I'm also, you know, I'm grateful for God has blessed me with people, you know, have friends, Jeremy and Sue, and people around, pastors who have, you know, challenged me and helped me to stay on the right track. And, you know, God's grace to just keep going. And, you know, God's provision over the years, you know, in terms of studying, you know, how I came to the UK, on a scholarship, which, you know, was a story in itself, because I think an application I'd written 9 months before, I just sent it once, oh, just send it. And through that, you know, God worked out a scholarship that I could come. And even then, when I went, I was meant to have my ticket sent to Sierra Leone, and I didn't have a ticket, and I was meant to fly out. But I went by faith and went, and it was not the time of emails or whatever, it was teletext and stuff like that. So it was very late in the day that I got my ticket, you know. And I think, you know, God has, you know, shown his faithfulness throughout, you know, every time. But also, I think I've, like everybody else, I've also had shares of challenges over my life, you know, and I've had the loss of my father, you know, who literally died in my arms because I was taking care of him in hospital, and I was just about 21 years old, just finishing university there. I've had, you know, the loss of two of my brothers. One was a younger brother who I more or less took care of. You know, he was much younger than us. And two of my brothers died within 6 months. You know, it was, and my younger brother, I was even sharing with Gillian yesterday, he called me the night before, on a Wednesday night, you know, and he was in hospital, and I thought I was going to sleep, and probably just spoke to him briefly, and you know, halfway to the door, I'll call him back. And the next day when I came back from work, I just got a message that he's died. Mm-hmm. And I was really, it was, I think I never remember crying. I think I was howling, crying loud, and you know, it's just, he was so young, and but, you know, that's a share of the pain and the anguish we bear. And I remember when he was being his funeral, because I couldn't go, and we were going to one of the encounters, and we were driving people, and I just, you know, stood back, he's been buried today. So that was something, and, you know, which was really, I've had a share of things that people share. And that was really challenging. And 6 months later, my elder brother, who was, you know, died as well. And I've had financial hardship. I've suffered financial hardship. You know, when I said my brother died, his younger brother decided that I didn't have, for some reason, I didn't have money, you know. And I had to travel to Loughborough to conduct an exam, which I couldn't postpone. And I think I remember having, okay, I just had a full tank in my car. And I had to make that tank last, of petrol last, from Newcastle to Loughborough and back. Mm-hmm. And I was driving at 55, 60 miles an hour, because that's how the optimum level you can stay here. And I could see cars streaming past, you know, you just carry on, I'm saving my fear. And it did last to go to Loughborough and back. You know, and even before then, you know, I was in a job where I took care of students. There was an incident in the accommodation, and I probably didn't sleep very well. So it's like I had to drive in the morning, you know, make sure I kept awake. And, well, God has been good. You know, I've had, you know, the experience of a marriage breakup, you know, which, you know, is a painful experience. And I still have the challenge of children, you know, who are yet to fulfill their potential. You know, there is that ongoing thing to say, yes, you have children who are not working with you yet, and who you see perhaps can do better in life or are not yet there. So there are those challenges and, you know, things about what I am in terms of what God has done. So there's both the blessings, you know, the challenges, but like everybody else. But some of the lessons I've learned, I think the first lesson I'll share is that God is indeed real. God's love is real. And we can experience it, and you can experience it. I think for me, you hear this talk about God's love. I think the time I really experienced God's love was when I was really in a downer. That's when I really experienced God's love. I remember, once I was, because where I was living in Newcastle is near the town hall, in the evenings I'll go for walks, just to pray to God and cry and do whatever it is on my own. And I think there was one time I remember I was out walking and I was really just weeping to the Lord, and somebody sent me a text message of a verse, which was just so apt to what I was thinking. I said, God, you're so good. It was a message to say, God knows, God cares, right in those times. And I think that is something I can say, God's love is real. This love surpasses knowledge. We can't logically prove it. It's there. So that's one of the lessons I have learned. The other lesson is about identity and acceptance. As an international student, whatever you like it or not, you go abroad to either become better, to gain qualifications. And God has helped me to gain qualifications. So. But I think you're always trying to say, who am I? And of course, you come to a strange country, your accent is different, you look different, the color of your skin is different, the color of your hair or the texture of your hair is different, and all about you is different. And sometimes you struggle to say, who am I? Who am I amongst all of this? And sometimes we tend to want to look to those things, qualifications and stuff like that, as the things that identify us. Yes, indeed, because my parents are black. I've been born black, right? Because I was born in Sierra Leone, I've developed an accent because I've come from there. Yes, those are things that physically can show us, and sometimes we can rely too much on them. But what I've learned, and I think I've used a story where I think somebody once said of Billy Graham when he was organizing some of his conferences, I think somebody asked him, Billy Graham, what would you be if you were not American and white or whatever? As if being American and white is what it is. And then everybody was, whoa, that's an awkward question. And what I heard from the story is that he just said, well, I am what I am by the grace of God, which is a verse from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And the voice talks and said, today I am who I am because of God's grace. And I've made sure that the grace he offered me has not been wasted. I've worked harder, longer, and smarter than all the rest. But I realize it is not me. It is God's grace with me that has made the difference. I think for me, I can say I am what I am by God's grace. And what I'm learning in life is that my identity doesn't come from whatever I have, whatever qualifications I have. It's not from my parents, from my children, because sometimes parents, you want to say, oh, my children are this, and therefore you're defined by that. It's not defined by that. It's not defined by my parents. Yes, in some ways, I have their genes, I have their looks or whatever it is. It is not defined by them. So good or bad, it is not because of them. It's not defined by my education. It's not defined by any position I have, but from Christ. And that is the lesson I'm learning, to say it is Christ that makes the difference. I remember recently, as where I work, you go, every year you have like a review. And I was reviewing, going through my periodic review, and the lady was reviewing, and saying, talking, oh, well, you should go to events in the evenings and talks. I said, well, you know what? My life doesn't just depend on that. My life is not just about progressing as an academic. My life has something else. And it was strange. We spent perhaps half an hour just talking about our church and stuff like that. It was really interesting. I said, no, well, yes, I don't go to lectures in the evening, perhaps miss out on things. But I want to go home and have dinner or tea with our daughter, because I can't miss that. Evenings, I have to run a city group. I have to go to leaders' meeting. I have things to do which matter. Weekends, I don't usually work because Sunday there's church and stuff. Well, if it means I don't progress as fast, praise the Lord. My identity doesn't depend on that. And I think it's something, and I think when will I say we are what we are, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. I think we can tend to want to perform to please people. I want to be good. And I know as an international student, and I think one of the things I was, like my dad, he was somebody who was very proud of my educational achievement. Of course, he didn't live to see all of that. But there's always that sense where you want to perform to prove to somebody. You know, and I think I read, I supervise international students, and I can see some of them, you know, one of them I was reading their dissertation, I was marking, and you say, oh, thanks to my parents who have supported me. Now I'm very proud of them. I'll make you proud. You know, that's what this student said. So there's a sense that I want to make your parents proud. I want to make them feel good of me. But that's not, it's what Jesus has done for us that matters. And for me, that's one of the lessons I'm learning. The other lesson I'm learning is the destructive power of fear. You know, most of us, we may not realize it, but our lives might be governed by fear. The fear of failure. The fear of not being accepted. The fear of missing out or not being accepted by our culture or whatever it is. So many fears. The fear of falling ill. And you know, there's one verse in Job, the book of Job, in chapter 3, verse 25, say, what I feared has come to me. What I dreaded has happened to me. You know what? If you keep fearing things, they will happen to you. And that is what I'm learning, to say, don't fear. And many times, I don't know how many times, but several times in the Bible, God says, fear not. I am your God. Fear not. I am with you. Fear not. I love you. Fear not. And that is something we may not realize it. Sometimes we have so much fear. You know? Oh, fear, I don't want to make a mistake. Fear of being embarrassed. Or fear of disappointment. You know, I used to have that kind of fear. Sometimes fear of lack. You know, we fear, oh, I wouldn't be able to have enough. And you know what, for me, what I realized, that fear of lack is something that can, you know, lead to abundance. I think I'm still working on that. Usually, even when I cook, I sort of overcook. Because I think, oh, perhaps there won't be enough for everybody. It can be in little things like that, but it can be in other areas as well where it affects us. But fear not, because God is in control. God is, and one of the other lessons, one day I was thinking I was disappointed. I said, well, you know, God doesn't really disappoint us. Because he's just stopped us from not getting into something that perhaps is not good for us in the long run. You know, I was reliving an experience, it's about probably like 10 years ago, so I applied for a job, which was, it could have been a promotion, you know, in Manchester. And I went for this, there were only three of us interviewed, and one of the person forgot about it, didn't go to the interview. It was sort of bizarre things, and because he was friends with some of the people, they sort of, oh well, they did a video interview, and it was really not, you could see that this guy wasn't interested in the job. And for some bizarre reason, I never got the job. Well, you know, I thank God, if I had got the job, I wouldn't have met Jillian. So, and I said, wow, God, thank you that you didn't answer that prayer. Because I can see, you know, sometimes we don't understand those things. But sometimes God gives us the grace to say, well, if you've got that fruit, this is what might have happened. So God doesn't necessarily disappoint us. He stops us perhaps taking a course that is not the best thing. So that's another lesson. And perhaps the other lesson as well is the value of people. You know, my personality is, you know, I have a very introverted personality most times, where I can still sit on my own. I'm comfortable with my company. You know, I can read books, I can just... Well, you know what? We need to connect with people. Because it is through people that we are who we are. I can see how people have helped me. People have kept me, and people have challenged me, and people have helped me to become the person I am. So please don't be withdrawn. In fact, when you're in trouble, that's not when the time you should withdraw. You should connect with people. That's when you need to make that effort and connect with people. I think that is so important. And I can see so many things that are not necessarily coincidences, but how God puts people in our path, good or bad, who bring help to us. You know, not too long ago, I was at a conference in Australia and I got to know somebody, you know, just chatting because we stayed in the same hotel and we sat at the table at dinner. And through that person, I've developed some research, and you know, just by that acquaintance, and at the time when I was doing something, he always sent his student to come and spend, and I had somebody free to help me do some work, you know. So just by sitting with people, sometimes it's just coincidence. So anybody you meet, take that as an opportunity. You never know. That is God's provision, good or bad. And perhaps just to say, I think one of the things I say, the life of faith is not just about what we can get from God. Although God gives us and gives us. But indeed, it's about who we become in Christ. That is really what it's about. When it says, God works for good, and in all things God works for good. If you read that passage, later we say, what he wants for us is for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus. That is what God wants for us. So whatever path you've taken, God's ultimate desire for us to become like Jesus. So, you know, my life is not over yet. I'm 55 years old and counting. But you know, like Samuel said, he said, thus far the Lord has helped me, Ebenezer. Thus far the Lord has helped me, but there is still more. You know, there is more. I want to have dreams to be more like Jesus, to accomplish things for him. You know, one of my goals this year is to have a heart for people above all else. And indeed, that has been tested. You know, dealing with some people are easy to love, some people are not. Well, it's just to have a heart for people, because beyond things and other things. And I want to raise up a generation of leaders and continually be renewed in my vision and passion and zeal. So, to conclude, my story has been and is being shaped by Jesus, who is my Savior and Lord. No matter what else you can describe about me, no matter what, you know, it's I think Jeremy made me put all those letters on my name, but those don't mean anything. It's really what counts. You know, what about your story? What or who is influencing you? Is it the quest for identity and acceptance? Or is it driven out of fear? You know, one thing I learned recently is that sometimes we can pray out of fear and not of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you're praying against something, oh God, please, don't let this happen. You can speak with fear to say, oh, if it happens, I'm going to be inconvenienced. But you know what? In your inconvenience, God is still there. He still sustains you. Or is it about who you can or what you can have in Christ? Whatever your story is today, Jesus is able to make it better. You know, to give it purpose and meaning, and also to help you on the way. Jesus' invitation is, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, yes, in this world you'll face trouble and tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. There are challenges. It doesn't mean when you become a Christian, you don't face challenges. There will be challenges. But God is there. He is overcome the world. There is always victory. So if you already know him, please continue to let him be the driver and the pilot of your life. But if not, today is an opportunity for you to let him.